All right, here is a run through for my intuitive decision making. I'm going to call this IDM. And one of the greatest challenges I have a coach for clients is to help them be more intuitive in their decision making and the possibilities of where they may take that. So I've got three things or three areas of thought tonight as I'm recording this. Agile learning, process flow, and disparate aggregation. That's a fancy way for saying non-information that is seemingly unrelated at the time. So here's my thoughts on agile learning, which is learning agility is what the cool kids say now. It's learning agility. So what that means is, how do we work with learning theory, learning styles, savant learning, those outliers, and information absorption? And let's start with information absorption first, because that seems to be where some of the studies are leading us, is information absorption. So information absorption is, how quickly do we absorb new knowledge? And that has nothing to do with IQ. It just is, how fast does our brain soak up new information like a sponge? So that is one measurement that we need to work off of to figure out where we fall on that scale. And then armed with that information, it will help us with process flow. So back to learning theory, how do you choose to learn? Are you kinesthetic? Are you auditory? Do you learn by doing? And that goes back to your learning styles. Are you hands-on? Are you more of a conceptual thinker? Are you able to work through those issues and come up with independent conclusions? That's kind of where we're at. So process, let's talk about process flow. The tools, what tools do we have to help us do process flow and mapping? So there's hardware tools, and there's the good old fashioned pen and paper for flow charting, right? If y'all remember how that used to work. And then there's software tools, and that could be mind mapping, that could be Microsoft Visio, that could be a lot of different things. Whatever tools you choose to use, then we need to extract baseline information. So when I was a young investigator, I was sent to the same interrogation and interview school that the law enforcement went to. That's the feds and the state and the county and the local people. And one skill that I walked away with was to how to ask the 14 baseline questions to gather and observe behavior that was not deceptive, because everybody is comfortable and provides true information when you ask the basic 14 baseline questions, such as, what is your full name? What is your date of birth? You know, what is your title? Who do you report to? How long have you been employed here? All of those give you a baseline information and also gives you honest answers, because most people aren't going to lie about those things. The next thing is, how do you process flow information? The what if, you can ask what if questions to infinity, and or the why questions. And kids are good at this, right? Little kids. It's why dad? Why mom? So you give them a reason. Well, why is that? And why is that? And why is that? To the point that our kids are driving us crazy, right? So one of the things, let me back up. So you can what if it to death, and you can ask the why question to death, right? Take that attitude as a child and carry that out with whatever problem you're wanting to solve, whatever process you're wanting to create, whatever system you're wanting to create. I always look at it this way. To take someone down a decision path and then ask for the sale, ask for the decision point, ask for them to take the next step. And I always use that. And the next step is, and the next step is, and keep going along that path to show them that the logical next step is to do X. The logical next step after that is to do Y, and keep leading them down that path. And the last thing on process flow I would encourage you to think about is how many times and how many levels down do you ask a question? So I've got 1, 3, 5, and 7, the first, third, fifth, and seventh level thinking. The first question you ask when you get it to a decision point, you know, yes or no, right? So the challenge is not very many people think past the first level. They only think that's all they think about. So ask yourself at least three times, what's the decision tree look like? Is it yes, no, maybe? Is it yes, no, never? And then if it is yes, then what happens after that? And then that also will have its own decision tree. Yes, no, maybe, never. And then what happens after that? How many steps ahead do you think? Ask yourself this when you're driving down the road. Are you constantly scanning for all the variables? The car that's getting ready to turn right in front of you. Can you beat this red light? Will the car in front of you go through the yellow light so you can go through the yellow light? Not that I've ever done that or I'm making any observations on my own life. I'm just asking you. I've seen other people do it. I had a friend tell me about it once, right? Okay. My challenge is take this to the fifth and seventh level. When we interview people for their, to help them with their vision, their dream, let's use a real estate example. We're asking them about a new buyer. What would you like to see in your house? What's important to you about your house, the one that you want to buy? And if you can drive that question down seven levels and they say, well, I want a big backyard. Perfect. What about a big backyard is important to you? Well, would let my kids play safe. You know, I have a fence. Okay. And so what about your kids playing safe? Well, you know, we live in an apartment right now and they really can't get out and run some of the energy off. Oh, that makes more sense. So it's important to you for your kids to be able to run energy off. Well, yeah, because it's important for my wife and I to keep our sanity. Well, I can understand how sanity would be important. Do you feel like that has made you, this will help make you a better parent? Absolutely. If we have this option, perfect. You can see where this is going. We are driving this down to a values question. What do they consider the most valuable piece of this? All right. And then the last section is disparate aggregation. That just means how well do you bring non-similar information together? When I was doing investigations, there were times that we had evidence or research in front of us, but we weren't sure how it related to the case, even though we knew the same person or the same department had touched this information that had brought forward the complaint or the concern or the ethics hotline complaint, whatever. So non-similar information. Here's where intuitive decision making, this is where you earn your bread and butter right here. Find connection points. Finding connection points. Find that one similar date on this material. Find that one similar email where the people that are involved would have been contacted together. Find that one text message. Find that one phone call. Find that one voicemail. All right. And then when you find the connection points, then you can plan on the high percentage outcomes. then you can, with some degree of certainty, predict what those decision trees look like and how did you get from point A to point F, G, H, I, J, K. How did you get through that? And when you are able to take disparate information and find the connection points, you can be a predictor of what has been going on and what the possible outcomes are and what the high percentage outcomes are. And this takes, they talk about AI nowadays. All of this documentation can never replace the human mind. Now, do computers help us? Of course they do. It takes a certain set of skills to sit across the table with a client or with an employee that may have made some bad judgment decisions that you're trying to get to the bottom of. It doesn't matter. Your ability to look at them, measure actions and reactions is important. Remember the 7-38-55 rule, and I'll leave you with this for tonight. 7% of your communication is words, 38% is tone, and 55% is nonverbal. I'll go over that one more time. 7% is the words by themselves. This is why email and text are not that effective unless there are a strong language or maybe expletives in them. Okay, then we kind of know the tone, right? Without even hearing it. The tone piece of it brings it to life because then we have additional input with which to make an analysis of what's being told to us. And the last part of that, 55%, is nonverbal. So we've all seen the movies, right? Eyes up and to the right, they're lying. Maybe it depends. It depends on a lot of external factors, the environment, where you're sitting, where they're sitting, the temperature in the room, the stress level, all of this good stuff. There is no substitute at this point in our lives that a computer will be able to do that. All right. So my goal in sharing this with you is that intuitive decision making is something that we should all strive for, that we should gain skills at to make us a better employee, a better manager, a better salesperson, a better partner, a better spouse, any family relationships. Help your people and the people you care about, help them think things through. And as Will Rogers used to say, common sense ain't so common anymore. Help these people figure out and think ahead to possible outcomes of their decisions and their actions. Anyway, that's all I got for now. You all have a great day.